It's been a year every single week, basically, since March, and every single day involves being tuned in for all the news that you could possibly get, whether it is which team has had the latest COVID-19 positive test or what company is going under that you used to go visit in the mall every single day. The economy in its very strange COVID state is getting back underway, and with it also is the world of sports. Stay ahead of the curve with unparalleled tools of two of the world-class news desks covering developments across finance, economics, technology, and sports. The Athletic and Bloomberg come together to give you all aspects of what you need to know when you get up in the morning and when everything changes before you even have your first cup of coffee. Subscribe to Bloomberg.com, and if you're not already a The Athletic subscriber, for a limited time, receive a complimentary subscription to The Athletic. Go to Bloomberg.com/subscribe to sign up today. This is Melissa Lockard with Steve Berman from The Seamheads, a show about the Oakland A's. Well, the trade deadline came and went on Monday in its 2020 iteration, and I don't know about you, Steve, but it seems like the trade deadline was the least newsworthy thing that's happened to the A's since we last chatted last week. It's been like a year since we went through with cancellations, postponements, walkouts, COVID-19 positive tests, and two trades. So where's your head at this point?
It's kind of swimming. It's definitely one of those deals where you keep refreshing Twitter to see what's going to happen, and I did not expect a positive COVID test. That was the most surprising thing. I think it seemed like the A's were riding high just a few days ago. They won their, you know, that one game against the Rangers, and then there was the protest Wildcat strike, if they want to call it that. And then they go to Houston and get Tommy La Stella, and that game was postponed, that first one. And then next thing you know, they get swept in a doubleheader. The starting pitching looks a little bit tenuous. And then they have a situation where now they're off until at least Thursday. So it's, the A's were, you know, pretty much in the, seemed like in the catbird seat in the American League. And then all of a sudden now everything is in flux. David Force said that, you know, it's a resilient team and that he thinks that they can handle this bit of adversity, but no one really knows exactly how this is going to play out. So they did get Mike Minor though, I guess. He had a good start against the Dodgers in his last outing, but definitely just a very odd week in general.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's not surprising that they picked up a second baseman and a starting pitcher if you were just in isolation to sort of look at it that way. But I think how they came about, especially on the minor part of the deal, was a little bit, I don't know if underwhelming would be the right word for it. There weren't nearly as many big names moved on trade deadline day as you might have seen in a normal year. But certainly there were other starting pitchers out there that maybe you would have expected them to target. And a guy with a 5 ERA who's sort of been up and down so far this season doesn't seem necessarily that different from the five guys they've sort of run out there so far this season. What do you think Mike Minor brings to the rotation right now? Is it merely that they need six starters because they're going to have so many doubleheaders, or do you think he's going to be an upgrade over the guys they've got in the rotation now?
We talked about this recently that both of us agreed, I think, that unless you're getting someone who is a clear upgrade that could start a playoff game, then what really is the point? But the A's went with Minor, who I don't really see him as like some huge upgrade over Sean Manaea at this point, at least based off of his stats over the last few years and especially this year. I guess, you know, the A's in their press release said, hey, you know, he's had the, you know, some of the lowest run support in all of baseball, 2.8 runs per game that the Rangers gave him. Okay, sure, that's great. And he did have a nice start against the Dodgers, six shutout innings on August 28th. But I don't really know if it's something to where it's just a depth play, because at this point, you have to kind of wonder if Frankie Montas is going to have some sort of IL stint coming up here in the future, or at least need to take a little bit of time off, because he just doesn't look right ever since he missed a couple days with the neck thing. And he's, you know, it seems like his fastball is just getting pummeled by everybody. Saw that in Houston too. So, I mean, I don't know. It just seems like it's maybe just a situation where they don't want to just crush their bullpen, and they might need a long guy, or they might just slot him in the rotation, or even go with six starters for a little bit. A lot of it has to do with when they come back from COVID, all these doubleheaders, and also Montas.
Yeah, and I guess it's probably good to mention too, we don't know who tested positive for COVID and if that played at all into the decision to acquire Mike Minor. But, you know, you're right. I mean, he doesn't necessarily on the face look like an upgrade over any of the five guys that are out there. I did sort of have a memory of when he made his one start against the A's earlier this year that he looked really good for the first three or four innings and then had a bad inning towards the tail end of that start that gave the A's the lead and the eventual win. In looking at sort of his split so far this season, it seems very similar to Minaya in that the ERA for the first three innings of his starts has been, you know, pretty good. And then it all seems to kind of snowball on him on those four through six innings. So, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily something that they looked at it and they thought they could correct. You know, he was one of the better left-handed starters in the American League last year. I think he struck out 200 guys. So, you know, certainly there's something there if they feel like they can correct that maybe could make him a big upgrade over, you know, almost all the guys that they've got in the rotation. But if they can't get that guy back, then you're kind of another question mark entered into a rotation that was sort of filled with them at this point, which is kind of an interesting way to go about it. And they gave up, you know, two pretty good prospects for him. I mean, I think they're guys that probably maybe, you know, I've seen in heard more about than most people. They hadn't really reached a national level of recognition yet, but Marcus Smith and Dustin Harris were two guys they picked up in the 2019 draft who really performed well in their pro debut seasons. Of course, didn't get a chance to play this year, didn't get a chance to progress further. And so maybe at that point, you know, teams are starting to think some of the guys they picked in the 2019 draft and 2020 draft, but especially that 2019 draft, they're just not going to be able to develop them the way they would have otherwise. And so they're sort of cutting bait early. But, you know, Smith was a guy that they really loved, his speed, his ability to work the count at the top of an order, defensive ability. And Harris was a guy that hit, I think, you know, almost 330 between rookie ball and short season last year. So it wasn't like they didn't give up anything, you know, for Mike Minor. So they must see something that they think is going to be a big upgrade. But, you know, I sure would have liked to have seen the other guy in the Rangers rotation, Lance Lynn, coming back the other way.
Is it possible maybe that they see Minor as someone who could be a decent bullpen arm too? I mean, he's a guy who his splits I'm looking at against righties and lefties are almost identical in terms of just your basic slash lines. And so maybe somebody in this era where you got to face righties and lefties as a bullpen guy, and I think they really did want maybe one more lefty. So perhaps that's something that they feel like, almost like a Drew Pomerantz situation where he's sort of a decent starter, but not quite someone that you'd have as a top three in your rotation. But maybe his stuff plays up better in the bullpen. And I'm not really sure if the A's want to move stuff around. And there's, you know, I think Bassett's the one guy who can go back and forth. But, you know, as you wrote recently, too, it's, you know, he's been one of the most consistent starters on the team. One of the, you know, it's really him and Luzardo, and then everyone else is sort of hit or miss. So I don't know. Maybe I was thinking about that. But yeah, those prospects that they gave up, it seemed like, you know, they didn't give up anyone who's like in the top 10 in their system. But still, I mean, when you give up a third round pick from 2019, that's, you know, it's a lot, actually, for, you know, a month plus of Mike Minor, you'd think.
Yeah, and you make a good point about the relief kind of possibilities with Minor. I mean, he revived his career in 2017 with the Royals as a reliever. He made 65 appearances, had a 2.55 ERA in that role, you know, was sort of able to eat up multiple innings and be effective that way. And that's what sort of got him that contract that he's on right now with the Rangers, that three-year deal that he'll be playing out the rest of now with the A's. So he is somebody who can move into that. So maybe he goes back and forth or gives them another option like with Bassett. And I guess we should keep in mind too, if they're feeling good about where AJ Puck is with his rehab, you know, he's another left-handed bullpen arm that could be joining the team at any time now. So there are a few moving parts still with the way that their pitching is set up that certainly, you know, Mike Minor could give them a little more of a hinge in situations where they may, you know, like have the doubleheader. So they need somebody to be the sixth starter, but then could go into a relief role for a week and then come back out of it as a starter again. They may feel that he's somebody who can do that for them.
Yeah, I just thought of something, sort of a different subject. It's kind of funny, all this stuff happened with the A's that we haven't even brought the fact that, you know, after they traded for Listella, everyone's thinking, okay, every position is set. And then Marcus Semien goes down with a side issue, and they don't, MRI said that it wasn't super serious. I don't think it's something where they're going to put him on the IL, but you never know. Those things can get kind of tricky. And the fact that they had Matt Chapman playing shortstop at game two of the doubleheader, and everyone's like, okay, this doesn't seem like a very good thing. And Machine actually looked pretty decent at third base. He made a nice diving play. But are you going to have Matt Chapman playing short? I mean, do you really want Pinder as your starting shortstop? I don't know. So Simeon, I guess they're going to probably have to hope that during this time where they're quarantining themselves with COVID, and whoever's got the positive COVID test, then maybe Simeon is able to rest up and feel better. But just so much happened over the weekend that was, you know, just, well, one thing was positive. I think Listella is a great addition, but then you talk about the fact that all these other things happened with Simeon and the COVID thing, and the whole season right now is just cruising along so swimmingly. And the big worry was, are they going to have a slow start like they always do? Nope, no slow start, but now they're dealing with the crazy stuff right now, right in the middle of the season.
Yeah, no, you're right. And the Simeon thing was, I think, a very interesting development in that, you know, you did see very immediately what his value to the team is. I mean, beyond just the fact that, you know, he's had these above average offensive seasons the last few years, and that he's been a very steady presence with the glove the last couple of seasons as well. Just his ability to play every single day, I think maybe is taken for granted, you know, and it definitely was not taken for granted all of a sudden when he's not in there for a game two of that doubleheader and Matt Chapman's playing shortstop. And I did have to laugh a little when I saw Chapman there, because I remember talking to Keith Lippman back when Chapman was in Double A, and there were a few scenarios where he did line up at shortstop. And, you know, they kind of have a philosophy when they're developing their infielders. They want guys to play everywhere. So if there is a situation where they need to fill in somewhere, they can. Lippman made the point, too, that the way the shifts are now, a lot of times your third baseman basically is playing shortstop. So they wanted him to have a few kind of innings and stuff to be able to see that for when he's playing the shifts. But, you know, I had said to Keith, like, do you think he could be a good shortstop? And he says, oh yeah, he could be a Gold Glove shortstop. But you're talking about, like, the difference between a Gold Glove shortstop and maybe you're having, you know, Mike Schmidt over at third base. So I don't think this long-term solution would be to have Matt Chapman there as your shortstop. And, you know, for Pinder, I mean, he was a shortstop coming up, but obviously he hasn't played there in any sort of regular sense since, I think, 2017 was the last time that he had any real significant major league time at shortstop, a couple of starts here and there ever since then. But it would be a lot, I think, to ask him to just suddenly become an everyday shortstop for a long period of time. So my sense is the fact that they didn't acquire even just like a, you know, kind of average major league shortstop of some kind of quality in this trade deadline makes you think that, you know, they really do believe Simeon's going to be fine, and that if, you know, he does have to miss any time from this, it's not going to be more than a game or two. So that's probably a good sign. But in thinking about when they, you know, have to talk about a contract with him in the offseason and bringing him back, you know, you can see the value that Simeon brings just by virtue of his absence for one game. We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
You look at the A's schedule. Luckily, they have a few off days during September, not until the 14th, if you're not counting the mandated off days for COVID that they're going to have for Tuesday and Wednesday. You know, looking at the schedule, it's a brutal run after the Mariners. I mean, they play the Padres, who are probably the most explosive team in baseball right now at this moment. Seems like they're just putting up double-digit runs every other day. Then they play four games against the Astros at home, and then they have to go back to Texas, and that includes a doubleheader on Saturday. Then they have to go to Colorado and play against the Rockies, face the Giants at home, and the Giants, actually, their offense has been pretty good. And then they go and play LA for three games before finishing the year against the Mariners. So between that Mariners sandwich, which is some pretty difficult games going on that can really tax the pitching staff. So thinking out loud here, maybe that's the reason why they just wanted to get someone else, because they know that they could have some games that are pretty brutal for the bullpen. And the bullpen's been used quite a bit already. They've used Petit a lot. They're trying to kind of limit Soria's appearances to a certain extent. I think Trevino is pitching a little bit more lately, and he's been doing pretty nicely. But, you know, especially you're talking about going to Texas and then going to Colorado, that's not easy.
To your point, that four-game series against the Astros is almost certainly going to be a five-game series, because it's the last time they see them, and they've got to make up that game from Sunday. So you're looking at a stretch of if they can play a doubleheader on Thursday against the Mariners, I would think, then three games against the Padres, then likely five games against the Astros in 4 days, then four games against the Rangers in 3 days, then an off day, then the two games against Colorado, then another off day, and then you go Giants off day, Dodgers, and then that three-game series against the Mariners to end the season might end up being a four-game series because I think you can only make up, you know, one of the two missed games this week on Thursday. So certainly there's going to be a battle of attrition there. I do think, though, the one good news coming out of the deadline, you know, aside from, I think you're right, the Listella acquisition, we can talk about him more in a second, was a really good one. But I also think if you look at the schedule here, it's a tough run of games. It's a lot of games, but they aren't facing a situation where these teams got better with the exception of San Diego, and they only play them those the three times. But all the other teams on the schedule stayed the same or got worse. So at least I think you can kind of look at it a little bit like, okay, well, you know, the Mariners sold off almost all the assets that were being productive for them with the exception of, you know, say a Kyle Lewis. And, you know, the Dodgers stood pat. The Rangers got significantly worse, and they've got, you know, the five games or the four games coming up against them. That probably is a little bit of a solace. Getting back to the Listella thing, I mean, I think that was actually a really nice pickup. I think, you know, it's obviously hard to see Franklin Barreto leave the organization. I mean, I've been his number one fan since, you know, first saw him play when he was 17 years old in Stockton, and he was the guy that you would notice on the field immediately because he was so much more talented than basically anyone else that was out there. I think his day is coming at some point where he becomes a very good major league player. And, you know, it's a bummer that it's not going to be with the A's, but they were going to not find a good place for him to fit into their playing rotation regardless. And so, you know, to get Listella for a player that wasn't going to fit into their plans beyond the next few months of being a pinch runner, I think was a pretty good return for them. And Listella really does bring two things to the offense that they've really missed. I mean, his ability to make contact. I think even we saw the one game that he played before all this craziness happened, he drove in a runner from third with less than two outs. And like, I know it's ridiculous to keep talking about such a simple thing, but there's been so much of an issue with the A's being able to do that. And here's the guy that you can really count on to do that. He sees a lot of pitches, makes the consistent contact. He's really good against right-handed pitching. And I think I saw a stat that the A's haven't lost a game started by a left-handed pitcher this year where the opposing pitcher was left-handed, but I think they're only like 14-6 or something against right-handers. So, you know, having another left-handed bat like that who makes a lot of contact really, you know, gives them a weapon that they didn't have in their offense before.
Yeah, Listella is a guy who, I mean, you just look at the strikeout numbers. Forrest brought that up on his conference call right after the trade, you know, that he's in the top 1% in terms of strikeout rate. He struck out seven times all season. He's a full-time regular. Franklin Barreto, not to pile on, but has struck out seven times in 10 plate appearances. So, you know, it's a guy who, and he wasn't going to get on track because I think he's a guy who needs a, you know, solid 150 plate appearances in a row playing every day to kind of figure out himself in the majors, and the A's just aren't in a position where they could be giving away that those kind of playing time for somebody who they don't know if it's going to produce. I mean, this is the small sample size season of all small sample size seasons. It's, you know, you pretty much you got to produce now or that's it. And Listella is a guy who at the top of that order with David Fletcher, I remember Chris Bassett afterwards is the last time that he faced the Angels was saying he just was so happy he wouldn't have to face them again because he'd already faced them, I think, three times in his first six starts. And he said, yeah, it's just brutal. I mean, the top of that order, I mean, Fletcher, you know, he's hits pitches that are over his head, and Listella is impossible to put away. And so, you know, those guys in front of Trout. And so I think the A's had pretty healthy respect for Listella's contact talent and really happy to get him. I mean, I think when everything settles out, as long as there's no outbreak, it seems like nobody else has tested positive for COVID-19 as of yet. I mean, I don't know if that could change over the next few days based on incubation periods. But if this all shakes out well and they can figure things out, as long as the pitching can hold up, I mean, that the lineup just seems like it's pretty rock solid as long as everyone can stay healthy.
And there's still that possibility that someone like a Chris Davis who struggled all season kind of figures it out and gets hot. And if something like that happens, you know, you go from an offense that's been pretty good all year, even though they haven't been hitting on all cylinders, to being, you know, one of the top lineups maybe in the league. So I think there is, you know, a lot of optimism too. And it, you know, it's funny because I made the joke, like, the Padres were good, why'd they have to go get a whole new roster? And you know, I mean, I get why they went out and did what they did, but it is sort of an interesting thing when you've got a team that's winning and you've got a team that has put itself in position to be in first place. You sort of tend to think that there's only a couple of spots you really need to upgrade, you know, in order to take that step. And turning over, say, a fourth or a half of your roster at the trade deadline seems a little odd to me, because here, you know, you've got a team that has been showing that it can win and that maybe needed just a few little pieces, and you end up with, like, you know, 8 or 10 changes seems like something that a team would have to make a lot of adjustments to absorb. And, you know, I think the A's continuity has always been a big thing for them. And so these two guys coming in, I don't think are going to shake up much of what has been happening so far in terms of, you know, yes, the rotation might change, but as we just went through, they may need 6 starters really for the rest of the year. So, you know, that may not even impact how their rotation kind of is set up the rest of the time. And from a playing perspective in the infield, you know, LaStella maybe takes some of Tony Kemp's at-bats, but you could see Kemp coming in late in games and having a role in a different way as well. So there's no major disruption to what's been going on. You know, the front office sends a signal that they think this is a team that's good enough to compete because they're making it better without, like, gutting a significant portion of the roster. In that sense, I kind of like what the A's did in that they made themselves better without dramatically changing the sort of makeup of what has been one of the better teams in the league throughout the year.
The Blue Jays made some acquisitions, but, you know, the Yankees stood pat. The Rays didn't do anything. The Astros didn't do anything. No one in the American League Central really did a whole lot in terms of the contenders there. So a lot of the teams that really loaded up were in the National League. You know, the Padres that you mentioned, the Mets made a flurry of moves at the end. I'm not really sure what the Mets are doing, but, you know, the Mets are the Mets.
No one's ever sure.
No one's ever sure. The Marlins added Marte, and you know, the Reds added some pieces as well. A lot of people were wondering if perhaps Trevor Bauer could be, like, one of the big prizes on the trade market, but he stood pat. None of the big starting pitchers. There was no Yu Darvish last minute deal like there was last year. It was just, Zach Greinke was announced right after the deadline by Ken Rosenthal, and people were waiting and refreshing to see if that would happen. It didn't happen. So even though the A's, you know, you look at those moves and you're not, like, completely wowed and think that these are total game changers, they still actually were one of the more active teams in the American League if you compare them to the rest of the contenders there. And so, yeah, I think it's a good sign for the clubhouse to let them know, hey, we're behind Joe. We think this is a team that can go all the way. I know the A's are very confident in themselves as well, as they should be. But they also, as you said, there's not a lot of disruption. The continuity is still there. And now it's just all about staying healthy, both in terms of illnesses and injuries.
And I should note, too, about Minor that Eno Saris made a remark that he felt like there were some things that you could see in Minor's spin rates and pitch usage that indicated that maybe there's just a small tweak that needs to be made for him to kind of get back to being the guy who he was. So we could look back at this and be like, why did we ever think this wasn't a huge acquisition? You know, I mean, obviously, when you have a chance to win, giving up two guys that only have half a season of professional baseball is never a huge risk. So certainly in that respect, they gave up a guy they didn't have, you know, a spot for, and two guys that have got a combined, you know, 5 months worth of professional baseball under their belt. So to have that and have the chance to win is certainly something that they, you know, can kind of be glad about as they come out of this trade deadline. But getting healthy in a very true sense is definitely the most important thing at this point for the franchise. You know, hopefully whoever did test positive is feeling okay and is asymptomatic, and that it's been contained to that one person and that they can get back on track. I mean, it would be awfully scary if somebody had a serious illness from COVID-19 diagnosis. So we're thinking about them and hoping that they can get out of Houston as soon as they can.
Yeah, that's the important thing is, you know, we've actually been, I mean, I say we as in, you know, the two of us following the NL and AL West as closely as we do, haven't really had to deal with a lot of this stuff. Most of all the COVID stuff has been happening until now in the other divisions in baseball in other parts of the country. And so the A's are the first team to get hit. You know, it happened when they were on the road. Who knows how that occurred? You know, I mean, I'm sure the contact tracing must have been extremely stressful for everyone. Okay, where'd you go? What'd you do? How'd this happen? Who have you been in contact with? And I'm sure that there's a lot of extra stress that goes into that. I mean, the players, I think, are enjoying when they're on the field, but it's also a weird, stressful time for everybody. And yeah, the key here is that everyone stays safe. I mean, baseball is obviously secondary. We just don't want anyone to have a bad illness where there's lingering effects, or even worse, or for them to pass it along to family members or anything like that. It's one of those deals where, you know, we've been cruising along for a few weeks and like, hey, maybe we'll just get through the season without ever really getting touched by this virus. And unfortunately, when we were worried about the trade deadline, we found out that something that's a little bit more important in life popped up.
When we come back later this week, we should have more information on that. And hopefully we're talking about a schedule resuming and everybody feeling good. Thanks so much for listening. And we'll be back again on Wednesday to talk more about the A's and hopefully the moving forward of their season.